Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, as we read the verses 13 through 17. And these verses also form our text. Let us hear the word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This ends the reading of the holy and inspired Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word to our hearts. Dear friends, the Scriptures teach that when a sinner is converted, he or she must be baptized. Now, there are many examples of this in the New Testament when the Jews on the day of Pentecost asked Peter what they had to do to be saved. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." And many of them did. When Lydia was converted under the preaching of Paul, she was baptized, both she and her household. So was the Philippian jailer. And we can cite many more examples. Baptism is a symbol of the washing away of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. It indicates that we have been born again and desire to live to God and for His glory. Now, significantly, the Lord Jesus Christ was also baptized. And we read about that in our text. There we read that one day, at the very beginning of his public ministry, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, where John was baptizing, and he came in order to be baptized. At first, John refused, but Jesus insisted. And as he came up out of the river, suddenly the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him. Just then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now the baptism of Christ raises a number of questions. Why did Christ have to be baptized? Why did John at the first refuse to do this? And what's the significance of the dove and the voice from heaven? Well, these are some of the questions we want to consider as we meditate on this portion of the Word of God together. The theme for the sermon today is the baptism of Jesus, and we'll see that it was, first of all, refused by John, secondly, it was insisted upon by Christ, and thirdly, it was approved by God. The events of our text took place several months, some say as much as a year, after John the Baptist had been preaching and baptizing near the Jordan River. Now, John, you remember, was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been called by God to prepare the way of the Lord, and that's exactly what he did. After spending several years in the wilderness of Judea, John, at the time appointed by God, suddenly burst on the scene, urging the people to repent. In Matthew 3, verse 1, we read that in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as a sign of their repentance, John urged people to be baptized. Now, John's baptism was not Christian baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. It was an outward sign that the person being baptized had turned his back on sin and was resolved to live a new and holy life in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Well, as it turned out, John's ministry was greatly blessed by the Lord. The people came to him in droves from all over. We read in Matthew 3, verses 5 and 6, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Even the religious leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem were affected by John's preaching. In Matthew 3, verse 7, we read that some of the Sadducees and the Pharisees also came to John to be baptized. John was at the very height of his popularity. Well, one day, as John was preaching and baptizing near the Jordan, he saw a figure in the distance, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, John did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. And we know that because in John 1, verse 31, John describes Jesus coming toward him while he was baptizing near the Jordan. And commenting on this, John quotes John the Baptist as saying this, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." Also, in verse 33, he's quoted as saying, "I did not know him." It was not until Jesus came to him for baptism that John realized who he was. Well, as Jesus approached John, he indicated that he wanted to be baptized. And after discovering who Jesus was, John point blank refused. Our text says John tried to prevent him. Now, the verb here in the original Greek is the imperfect tense, and that indicates an ongoing action. So we could translate it like this. John kept on forbidding him. He kept on trying to prevent him. So you kind of get the impression that Jesus kept asking John to baptize him, and John kept refusing to do it. Now, why did John refuse to baptize the Lord Jesus? Well, for at least two reasons. First of all, John knew that his baptism was a baptism of repentance, and it symbolized the washing away of sin. But Jesus, as the Son of God, had no sin. So why then should he be baptized? Secondly, although John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, he was still a sinner. And as a sinner, he needed to be baptized by Christ, not the other way around. And that's why he said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" Now, when asking that question, John manifests himself as a true child of God. What are the chief marks of a true child of God? There are many of them. We could think of a godly sorrow for sin, a looking in faith to Jesus Christ as one's only hope and ground of salvation, a striving to live a holy life to the glory of God. But if there are two marks that truly distinguish a child of God, it is this: low thoughts of self and high thoughts of God and Christ. And these are the marks that John manifests here in our text. First of all, John had low thoughts of himself. That comes out not only here, but in other passages as well. In John 1, verse 26 and 27, John said to the people, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." John had such low thoughts of himself that he did not consider himself worthy enough to loosen Jesus' sandal strap. Similarly, in John 3, verse 26, we read that some of John's disciples informed him that everyone was flocking to Jesus. And what was John's reaction to this? Did he get upset? Was he jealous? No. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And that's remarkable in light of who John was. John was no ordinary man. He was the greatest preacher who ever lived. Jesus himself said so. And the people flocked to him in droves. He had many disciples. And yet, in spite of it all, he had low thoughts of himself. Now, that is true for every true child of God. Every true child of the Lord confesses that he is nothing in himself. Why? Because he knows himself to be a sinner. And as a sinner, he knows that he can do nothing to please God. And he does that which is forbidden by God. And he fails to do that which is required by God. And that causes him to abhor himself before God. The confession of the child of God is that of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, who said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." My friend, is that your confession today? This kind of confession doesn't come by nature. Because by nature, we are proud and self-righteous. But when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see ourselves for who and what we are, then we realize that we are nothing. And then, like John, we come to have low thoughts of ourselves. We see ourselves for who and what we are: miserable, hell-deserving, damn-worthy sinners. Dear friends, has the Holy Spirit begun that work in your life? Has he shown you who and what you are by nature? Do you have low thoughts of self? Secondly, John also had high thoughts of Christ. He said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you." Now, in making that statement, John recognized that he could not save himself. He had to be saved by Christ. Christ and Christ alone could wash away his sin. And therefore, he looked to him and to him alone. Is that true for you as well? Are you looking to him as the only hope and ground of your salvation? You know, many people today, they look to themselves. They look to their religion, to their good works, their sincerity, their spiritual experiences. But dear friends, none of these things can take away the penalty of our sins. None of these things can reconcile us to a holy and a righteous God. There's only one thing that can do this. There's only one thing that can take away the penalty of sin and reconcile us to God, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to say with John, "Lord, I have need to be baptized by you. For the first time and again and again and again, only you can wash away my sins. Only your blood can make me clean. And therefore I plead, wash me. Make me pure within. Make me clean and white as the snow." And so John forbade the Lord Jesus from being baptized. Now, what was Jesus' reaction to this? We turn to that under our second point. In spite of John's protests, Jesus insisted on being baptized. He said to John in verse 15, "Suffer it to be so now." Or we could also translate, "Permit it at this time." You see, Jesus understood John's reluctance, and he understood why John was reluctant. He also knew that in any other circumstance, he would be right to refuse to baptize him. But he persuaded him to do it anyway. Why? Well, several answers to that question have been proposed. Some say Jesus insisted on being baptized because he was about to begin his priestly ministry. And the law of Moses required that a newly ordained priest be washed with water before taking up his duties. Now, others say that Jesus insisted on being baptized as a sign of his endorsement of John's ministry. The idea is that if Jesus was baptized by John, then everyone would know that John was sent by God. Still others say that Jesus insisted on being baptized in order to set a good example for his followers. The idea is that just as Jesus was baptized, so his followers must be baptized as well. Now, there may be some truth in all of these explanations, but none of them really gets to the heart of the matter. The real reason why Jesus insisted on being baptized was, as he himself says, in order to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, we can't be certain. The text doesn't say, and there are various interpretations. The key to understanding what Jesus means here is to understand what he means by righteousness. What is this righteousness which will be fulfilled by Jesus' baptism? Well, most likely, it simply refers to the God's plan of salvation. So when Jesus argues that his baptism serves to fulfill all righteousness, what he means is this: that by being baptized, he is signaling his willingness to undertake the task of saving his people from their sins, which is precisely what his Father commanded him to do. And it's in obedience to that command that Jesus persuades John to baptize him. Now we see here something of our Lord's great humility. Earlier we saw that John showed great humility by stating that he needed to be baptized by Christ. But our Lord here shows an even greater humility by asking to be baptized in the first place, and then by one who himself needed to be baptized. But we also see something here of our Lord's great love, don't we? Remember, Jesus did not have to do any of this. He didn't have to be born. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to die. He didn't even have to be baptized. Why not? Because, as we've already seen, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance from sin. But Christ had no sin, and yet he wanted to be baptized. Why? Because he was the sin bearer of his people. You see, his people had to be baptized. And therefore, the Lord Jesus also wanted to be baptized. It was a sign of his identification with and love for his own. And so we're reminded here, aren't we, that no price was too high for our Lord. No punishment was too great. No humiliation was too deep. Whatever Christ had to do in order to save his people, he did it. And he did it willingly. He did it gladly. He did it joyfully. And so he insisted that John baptize him. And in the end, John agreed. We read in verse 15, "Then he allowed him." John dropped all of his objections and proceeded to do as the Lord wished. He proceeded to baptize the Lord Jesus. Well, just then, something amazing happened. And that brings us to our third and final point. As soon as Jesus was baptized, we read in verse 16 that he went up straightway out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened unto him. Now, the Bible records several instances of the heavens being opened. The first is in Ezekiel 1, verses 1 to 19. There Ezekiel sees a vision of four living creatures and a chariot and the wheels. Heaven was opened to him. The second time is in Acts 7, verse 56, the account of Stephen being stoned. Just as he was about to die, we read that he saw the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The third illustration of this is in Revelation 4, verses 11 and 19. Each time, John saw the heavens opened. And here again, as soon as Jesus steps out of the water, the heavens were opened. And John saw something amazing. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. It kind of reminds us, doesn't it, of Genesis 1 verse 2, where we read that before the first day of creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. We see that here. The Spirit of God is hovering over the Lord Jesus in the form of a dove. Why a dove? It's not clear. Perhaps because the dove is a symbol of innocence, gentleness, and peace, all of which are gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. But whatever the case may be, the dove came down from heaven and it lighted upon the Lord Jesus. It did not immediately disappear. It lighted upon him. It rested upon him for a period of time, perhaps to fix in the mind of John and the others who were watching that this Jesus really was the promised Messiah and that the Holy Spirit really was upon him. Now, what was the significance of all of this? Why did the Holy Spirit descend and rest upon the Lord Jesus? Two reasons. First of all, to anoint Christ for his task. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, usually with oil. Well, Christ is also anointed, not with oil, but with the Holy Spirit. And not into one office, but into all three offices. Christ's anointing with the Holy Spirit proved to all who witnessed it that he really was the promised Messiah of God. But the Spirit also came upon Christ in order to equip him for his task. With respect to his divine nature, Christ did not need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit. But with respect to his human nature, he most certainly did. You see, the Lord Jesus was called by God to do great work. He was called to preach, to teach, to perform miracles, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. But the only way he could do these things was if he was equipped and anointed by the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. As the Holy Spirit descended upon him, a voice came from heaven. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, whose voice was that? The speaker is not named, but it's most certainly the voice of the Father. And we know that because the voice addressed Jesus as "my beloved Son." Now, the Father was always pleased with his beloved Son. In Proverbs 8, verse 30, the pre-incarnate Christ is quoted as saying this, "Then I was by him," in other words, the Father, "as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." But now, in a manner of speaking, he is even more so. Why? Because by being baptized, Christ affirmed his commitment to do the will of his heavenly Father. He affirmed his commitment to die for the sins of his people. And seeing this from heaven, God the Father, as it were, shouts his approval. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He wants the whole world to hear how pleased he is with his Son. What a beautiful picture. Here we have all three persons of the Holy Trinity cooperating together for the salvation of sinners. First, we have the Son who was baptized and thereby undertaking the work of redemption. Next, we have the Holy Spirit who appears in the form of a dove, equipping him for this work of redemption. And then finally, we have the Father represented by the voice from heaven, giving his stamp of approval on the work that his Son would do. Commenting on this, Bishop J.C. Ryle says this. He says, "Surely we may regard this as a public announcement that the work of Christ was the result of the eternal counsels of the triune God. It was the whole Trinity which at the beginning of the creation said, 'Let us make man,' and it was the whole Trinity again which at the beginning of the gospel seemed to say, 'Let us save man.'" Well, dear friends, this is why Christ was baptized. This is why the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. This is why the Father voiced his approval from heaven. It was so that sinners like you and like me could be saved. Well, let me ask you, are you saved by him? If so, then through Christ, we become partakers of the things that Christ himself experienced. Yes, then the heavens will also be open to us. You see, outside of Christ, the heavens are closed to us. We're not permitted to enter into the presence of God on account of our many sins. But in Christ, the penalty of sin is paid. We are clothed in his righteousness. Access to heaven has been restored, and we may live and reign with God to all eternity. The heavens are opened through Christ. What is more, the Holy Spirit in Christ will come upon us. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, then the Lord Jesus does not leave us to ourselves. No, he sends us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, who leads and guides us in his truth, and who sanctifies and who ultimately will glorify us. We become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we have the Father's approval. Just as the Father indicated that he was well pleased with his Son, so he is well pleased with those who believe on his name. He regards them as his own, as his adopted sons and daughters, and even takes delight in them. Well, these are the benefits that belong to those who have been baptized with the Lord Jesus. My friend, do you have a share in these benefits? If so, then you are blessed, blessed among all people. But if not, oh, I urge you to come to Christ. Still today, he is willing, he is able to receive you and to adopt you as his child. This is why he came to this earth. This is why he was baptized, so that sinners like you and me might be saved. Oh, come to him then. Embrace him, and you too shall be saved. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you are blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. May I please ask you to write us a short note if you appreciate this ministry? It's very important for us to know if people are listening so that we can be wise in terms of how to allocate the resources that the Lord has given to us. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. Please note that we do not send out CDs of our radio messages. However, you can access and download all of our messages at any time from our website. Our website is www.banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. If you live in or near Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're welcome to attend the services at the Redeemer Free Reformed Church, worshiping at the Vanguard Christian Academy, 1620 52nd Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Worship services are held every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Please remember that the Lord would have his people come together to worship him. For that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active, contributing member of a faithful, Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.